You should be warned, the upcoming episode will be full of unfiltered, off-the-cuff discussion. As such, you should consider this your spoiler warning.
Hello, my name is Kyle.
And my name is Ryan.
And when our powers combine, we form...
Experience Grind Podcast.
We are the only podcast in existence.
We had a record from Guinness at one point.
And then they tried to take it back.
Did they successfully debunk it?
That is locked in our secret Experience Grind bunker, located somewhere undisclosed.
It's the same bunker where Kimmy Schmidt lived. That's where it's at.
Holy shit, that was in Indiana.
Right? That's where we keep it.
That's a deep pool, bro.
Yeah, I'm in that kind of mood. But Guinness, you can take it from our dead cold hands. You'll never get it. We are the only podcast in existence.
Yeah, you son of a bitch.
And today, we want to talk about this little movie. Just like a little one. This indie film that came out.
Yeah.
I mean, I was kind of laughing because
On the way out here, I had picked this topic question, and I totally forgot about it until right now at the beginning of the show.
All right, so we're just going to switch it up. That's fine. But what movie are we talking about today, Kyle?
We are talking about the low-budget indie flick, beloved by critics, hated by the audience, Spider-Man Homecoming.
Interesting. Hated by audience?
I was just going for, like, I don't know, when they market indie films, like...
Oh.
But I don't know.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah, I gotcha. Because audiences don't tend to relate. It's like, it's too boring. I don't want to read subtitles.
You're retarded. This is the greatest movie ever. And it happens a lot. But anyways. Yeah. No, Spider-Man Homecoming. Not a small
Big Mama's
budget.
House 2. Yeah. Mama's Back.
That was the indie film with...
I don't know if that was a subtitle or not, but it should have been.
Mama's Back. Oh, Spider-Man Homecoming, Ryan.
And then the poster would be a shot of Martin Lawrence in the fat suit's butt.
Well, it's an indie film. You can't afford Martin Lawrence. You have to get a black actor similar to Martin Lawrence. Who do you pick?
I cast this right now. An actor similar to Martin Lawrence?
For way less than the Martin Lawrence price.
I thought he was pretty low. I mean, I think you can only go Orlando Jones.
He's been in Bad Boys. Or 1, 2, and 3.
Dougie Doug.
Okay. You're wrong on both counts. It's Hannibal Buress.
Oh.
I don't think he'd do a great Martin Lawrence.
Oh, he'd be way too good for that shit. Oh, I love Hannibal Buress.
I know, he's amazing.
He is.
You know what? Fun fact about Hannibal Buress. He's in the movie we're going to talk about today.
Do you know another fun fact about Hannibal Buress?
Is it the showed up to the red carpet fact? Tell it. This is pretty great. I mean,
it's purely Hannibal Buress. I don't know. Sound engineer Andy, do you know about the story? So, big Spider-Man Homecoming premiere. They invite all the celebrities who are part of the movie in Hollywood.
Hollywood.
Yeah, big Hollywood.
The Chinese theater.
Like, this is how they show the movie for the first time. They invite all the actors there. Hannibal Buress is in this little movie, Spider-Man Homecoming. He has a small part. Wish it was more. Whatever. That's here nor there. But he shows up to the carpet. Nothing out of the ordinary. Nobody notices anything. A few days later, he reveals that he paid somebody... just another black actor that looks nothing like him to go to the premiere in his place, and nobody caught on.
I don't know if it was even a black actor. I think it was just a black dude in L.A. because he asked on Twitter. And some dude, he's like, hey, man, I got $500 if anybody wants to go to this premiere tonight for me and pretend to be me. And some dude was like, yeah, I'll do that. And so he did it.
Oh, that's great.
And he got all of his, yeah, so that's how that happened.
That's another twist of the story that makes it even better.
It's amazing, right?
Yeah, that's fantastic. So Hannibal Buress is the best. Instead of Spider-Man, we're just going to talk about his stand-up on Netflix that came out last year.
Well, I think I saw him when he was working on that special. He came to Burlington.
Really?
It's a good time.
Oh, cool.
Anyways, very cool. I do have a question, and it does relate to this movie.
Favorite Hannibal?
No. That would be...
It's Hannibal Buress still. It's still Hannibal Buress. Trick question.
Man, but Lecter is such a close sectant.
What?
Sectant?
He's a sextant?
No, sectant. It's a measure of a second.
Oh, okay. A sectant.
Yes.
Okay, sure.
There's we'll also the this. Hannibal that marched his entire army over the Andes Mountains to the Alps.
Yeah.
To sack Rome?
It's all that fantasy. It's garbled up his brain.
Is it Carthage? He had the elephants, and most of them died. I remember that.
That was also Hannibal Buress.
It was.
Just so you know.
Ryan, my question. I think I might know the answer to this.
Uh-huh.
Because I know you and we're such good friends, but it's nothing we've ever discussed.
Oh, okay.
Ryan, have you ever been to a homecoming dance?
Homecoming?
This is Spider-Man Homecoming. It revolves at the end around homecoming dance.
So, you know, I don't know if I've been to a homecoming
dance. Did you go to prom? Let me...
No, I didn't go to prom.
So you never had your 16 candles moment?
No.
Where you kissed the boy on the table over your birthday.
Which is why I still enjoy, yeah, because I just want my Jake Ryan, goddammit. How hard is it to ask?
Did you ever go to a school dance,
yeah,
with a date?
No.
No?
No, okay. I never did. I was going to go to the prom.
Yeah.
And it ended up being this big deal with the girl, and she was getting way more into me than I was ever into her. And it kind of like just freaked me out with how quick things were moving. And I was like, I think a few months before, I was like, I just can't do it. I can't do it. So I backed out. And that's the end of that story. That's going to be told on air.
Sure. I'm going to jump in here and tell you where you screwed up.
Yes.
Number one.
I agreed to go to prom with anybody.
No.
Absolutely
not. If I would
have backed in the future, gone back, been like, don't.
You agreed to go to prom. You agreed to go to prom with a girl that was super into you.
Yeah.
You did not wait until prom when she would easily give up the Neddin and then break it off.
I don't know if I wanted it from her at that time.
You hadn't had it any time, right?
No.
Were you one of these guys that were like, I'm saving it for the right one?
No, you say yes. You say it's like, oh, it's only if married. No, it's because I was like super awkward and like I'm not very good.
And that's what I'm saying. This was your chance to jump on it and seize it and lose that V card.
I don't know.
That's what you, I mean, then you could have dropped it off and been like, yeah, this really wasn't what I was thinking. Then you're fine.
Oh, sure.
Then you're fine.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure. Okay. Mm-hmm. This took a fucking turn. This podcast. All right. Kyle, what about you? Do you have a... Because I'm not even going to ask the question. I know you've been to a dance with a date.
Yes.
Probably a homecoming.
I went to homecoming and prom.
Do you have any interesting story?
I got head at homecoming.
I'm going to need more information for that to be interesting.
Yeah. It was by my date.
Okay. That's good to know. Okay. All right.
And we snuck off to one of the side hallways. In our school, all the dances were held in the cafeteria, which was in the center of the building. Mm-hmm. And then everything was in like a square pattern expanding out from that.
Okay.
And there were many side hallways at like the corners of the squares going off to different classrooms in the building. And we snuck off to one of these that had doors that were shut. Mm-hmm. Just totally went to town on my genitals. It's a pretty good time.
Yeah, okay.
And then we went back to the dance. And I hung out with my buddies, and I was like, hey, guys, she just blew me in the hallway. Because I told everything. I like to brag. In case you can't tell.
I would too,
from the fact that I have my own podcast with my name on it. Kind of a narcissist.
Yeah, that's true. And many other N-words. Like, like nihilist. That's where I was going.
Oh, I really went racist. Well, that's me.
I didn't pick up on it, but then when you guys laughed, I figured out what I did. I figured out real quick.
I don't know. I went to prom. It was they were always lame. I mean,
right? I don't feel like I missed out on anything.
I mean, when I look back on my high school glory days, I never think about the dances I went to.
No.
So yeah, you didn't miss anything because you're not thinking about the dances you didn't go to. Mm-hmm.
No, it's always better difference. In your head, too.
Yeah.
You just course. Imagine it forever.
Oh, I had to think about it. If it's better in my head, I don't think about it because it sucked.
There you go.
It's not even that good.
Yeah. Yeah.
That quantifies it. That's a math term.
You know who's real good at math? That Peter Parker. Let's find out what he does in this newest installment of a Spider-Man movie after the bump.
One, two. One, two, three, four. Spider-Man, Spider-Man does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size. Catches thieves just like flies. Look out! Here comes a Spider-Man. Is he strong? Listen, bud. He's got radioactive blood. Can he swing from a thread? Take a look overhead. Hey there! There goes the Spider-Man! Yeah! Look out!
So that was Michael Giacchino. He's the guy who did the soundtrack. That's his reimagining of the score.
That sounds like a made
up Spider-Man
name?
Homecoming. Michael Giacchino. Yeah. It's like Giacchino. It does sound made up, completely real. Did incredible soundtrack. The new Star Trek movies. I think he's doing
when
Star
you say
Wars
it. I want you to continue and go. Giacchino Reeves.
Giacchino Reeves. Oh man, this guy missed out. His name should have been Michael Giacchino Reeves.
Yes,
that is not easy to say. That is not easy to say at all. But yes, that was a sampling of the music that you will hear.
That is
in Spider-Man Homecoming. You have our word.
Yeah. That's $1 million Hollywood orchestral budget.
Yeah.
At work right there.
Yeah. It's in the pivotal scene where Spider-Man's like half naked and just like really flexing his muscles that you hear.
I like that. That's the pivotal scene in your mind.
I actually. Oh, there was that scene in this movie. Yeah, that did exist. Okay.
It's in every Spider-Man movie.
All right. So let's just talk. Maybe we'll start off with the Spider-Man Homecoming things we liked. Okay. And immediately, like...
Now, are we going to be on the same page on this?
We may or may not be. We'll see.
I think we are.
It could be. One of the things I liked, Peter gets completely, like, down to his boxers in front of his friends. That's
Let him
not
finish,
the positive.
People. Let that him is. Finish. Let him finish.
God damn it. Please I know Ryan. I need to be so much quicker than I am right
Please
now.
Please, Ryan.
It's not helping my case.
Please continue.
All right, so he gets... All right. And his friend Ned is in the room with him. Was this after he learns for the first time?
It's or the
is
same, that same exact scene? Time.
All right. So Ned finds out he's Spider-Man in this scene. Peter's half naked, kind of explaining things. And Aunt May walks into the room. And it's like that typical moment, like the, uh-oh, like, what are these two doing?
Record scratch. You
know, it's I think it's called gay panic. It's a gay panic thing. But this movie cleverly dodges that. And Aunt May does not address anything that's happening. She's just like, put on some clothes and come on. That's it. There's no mention of like that. So there are a lot of right things in this movie that I think that lead to some very... Oh, God damn, did I lose my train of thought real quick. I see you thinking, and it's throwing me off.
I'm sorry. I wasn't thinking. I just know what I'm going to say next, and that
is... What are you going to say next?
I'm going to totally just throw out my base opinion and work from there.
Okay. All right. Let's throw out our base opinions then.
This movie is better than Amazing Spider-Man 1, 2, Spider-Man 3, and is on a level with Spider-Man 1.
Okay. You and I are not that off. I think it's... Better than one.
Okay.
That's it. It's a bump up. I think it's
but
the second best movie. It is okay. Not better than the Spider-Man 2 Sam Raimi
God
Doc
damn.
Ock movie.
That movie is so fucking good.
It's
I
perfect.
Went back and watched it after this, and that is honestly what sullied my opinion of Homecoming a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And
I will
it
be
was
completely
always,
honest.
Yeah, it was always going to do that because that movie was just epic. It built on so many things.
It does so many things so right.
Yeah, yeah. I think my only minor complaint for Spider-Man 2 would be that I still don't feel like Tobey Maguire quite nailed Spider-Man.
Okay.
He was perfect as Peter Parker, but I don't think he really nailed Spider-Man
so
ever.
This is a good point, because
mm-hmm.
I'm going to jump off of this. I feel the same way about Tom Holland now.
Oh,
let me explain.
You think he's a good Peter Parker, not Spider-Man?
I think he's fine at both. But okay. The thing I realized after thinking back that I didn't like about Homecoming, and I get why this is what like this, but he's not the cocky, super sure Spider-Man that I like and am used to. He's the fragile, still learning Spider-Man,
mm-hmm.
which I get. But that's just not, and it's a completely personal opinion, that's not what I was wanting and expecting. I thought we got kind of all the newness out in Civil War. And I like the references to that timepiece when he's filming on the phone.
That's we'll come back to that.
Yeah. But just that's my feelings now. And I'm not saying that Tom Holland and I hope that they adapt it into this really cool cocksure. Sure. And it, What I like about Spider-Man is that Peter Parker, he's still the nerd, but it's a completely different mannerism when he puts on the Spider-Man costume, where he becomes a cocky guy who's quick-witted because he is smart, but he's using that against criminals, and he's kind of almost playing things off the danger because he almost has to, as a kid himself, like, oh, this isn't that bad. I'm going to make a joke of this.
Okay.
That's a whole long explanation.
No, it
is. Please interject.
I'm waiting for you to finish because I disagree with you and everything you're saying.
Okay.
The Spider-Man that you're referring to, this cocksure, cockstrong Spider-Man who's just making wisecracks all the time, that's maybe a fraction of it. Like, that's to off-put the villains and kind of, you know, he's like joking to keep himself like sane through all of it.
Yes, that's what I like.
It's not cock strong. It's not like bravado. Like, I am like all of a sudden like a much stronger person and can handle everything.
No, exactly. But it's a way of dealing with the threat and the danger.
That's
it's
Fox 90s cartoon. And that's not.
Maybe it is.
That's not how Spider-Man was. And I think maybe that has had an influence. But like the Spider-Man from the comics is very much just a bumbling nerd who can't do right. Like, the universe is against him always. Like, just anything that can go wrong will go wrong. And he will always make the wrong choice for the right reasons. And that's what I think this movie nails so fucking perfectly, is they make Spider-Man like a very active character. He's not a passive character who just stuff happens and he reacts. He is constantly given decisions, like the Vulture at the Homecoming Dance. And by the way, spoilers are going to be just abound. So you've had time to watch it.
This is the spoiler point. I should
mention. Spoilers are going to happen from this point. We've been pretty general. Spoilers happen now. So the Vulture finds out who he is and gives him like the threat. Like, stay out of this. You know, I know who you are. And as long as you don't prevent me from doing stuff, we're good. I won't go after you, but if you cross me, I will kill you and your family. I will kill everyone you love. I have no qualms with that. And that is such a nice offer. That's such a perfect offer, such a clean offer for a kid. And Peter, Spider-Man, whoever you want to refer to him as at the moment, makes the decision to go against that, to do the right thing. And that's what Spider-Man's doing. Like, that's going to complicate his life. That's going to make it so much harder. Just like the party scenes with Flash calling him Penis Parker. Like, he was going to drop down as Spider-Man and show up and make FaceTime with Ned and, like, build his status as Peter. But he decides to, like, do the right thing and go after the truck of stolen goods instead. Okay. And, like, that's kind of what they get right. And that's... I disagree. I think this is the perfect representation of Peter Parker, and I think this is the perfect representation of Spider-Man. I think it's the one that nails both, and I think before this it was like a vice versa. Like I said, Tobey Maguire, perfect Peter, not good Spider-Man. And then Andrew Garfield was vice versa. Yeah. I loved his
Spider-Man.
But his Spider-Man was good. His Spider-Man was real good.
All right, so I want to interject here.
Yes,
because you said
that
something
that... big long thing.
We both have had them. Let's interject more frequently.
This is probably
going to
be a very
All right. So you say that Peter was constantly pushed to do the right thing in this movie, and I'm going to disagree with you there. See how this is good? This is a tit for tat thing.
There are some things.
So both the things that you mentioned. Okay. The Vulture one, I agree with.
What you're going to go to.
He was doing most things to impress Iron Man and get into the Avengers. That is Peter's goal in this universe representation of Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he wants to do. So a lot of the things that he starts off doing for the right thing are not... He just wants to be recognized and respected by the Avengers. That's his goal.
That's the same for the comics. Like, he has that same kind of dynamic with Kurt Connors, the Lizard, that professor. Like, that's established in his character, is that he is trying to seek the approval. And maybe that's because of Uncle Ben and the consequences of not having a father figure.
And that's what I think it's more
on.
He's wanting to protect people more. Again, I'm not.
Oh, no.
You don't think so?
No. Because, like, even in Civil War, he had that scene where he stopped the bus by himself to save people. And that was long before Tony Stark even was in the equation. Like, that was archival footage of Peter Parker and his homemade stuff, like, helping out before he even had an inkling of being on the Avengers. I don't think that's fair to say. I think Tony Stark is a great role model figure in this movie, sure. And he is definitely trying to aim for that. But I don't think that takes away his agency to do good. I don't think because he's trying to please Tony, he is also not trying to do good because it's good. Because
he does recognize that it's good. He's like, shouldn't I help these people?
Yeah.
And Tony's like, yeah, but we have people to do that. Mm-hmm. But I get that too. But that's just, you know, the way that I was seeing it as I was going. Yeah. And also, are you ready for a big... Maybe, I don't know, it's my, probably not even big.
Go for it.
So the thing that I've noticed lately that you don't like when we go to the movies is that I have the thing kind of pegged from the beginning, and I'm like, oh yeah, I saw that twist like five twists ago. I did not see Michael Keaton being the father until he opened that fucking door, and kudos.
I did, but here's the thing. I thought it was somebody else because, and I shouldn't have because it's fucking way in the comics, but for some reason, I thought that he was going to be the father to Michelle, MJ.
Oh, MJ.
Yeah. Before that was revealed that she's MJ, which I don't know how I feel about yet.
We can I'll speak for both of us. It's kind of dumb.
It's the way it's revealed is dumb. Like, that actress would be fine as MJ. Sure, like, I don't care. Recast and reimagine.
Whatever.
But it's
but
done,
make it good and don't make it dumb.
It's done in the same way that Joseph Gordon-Levitt revealed he was Robin in The Dark Knight Rises, no. Which is like, right, my name is Quaid Fartson.
But they call me Robin.
And my nickname's Robin. And no, it's
that,
like,
that was way worse.
You're obviously just trying to fool the audience at this point.
Yeah, that was way worse than the MJ reference. Yeah. That was fucking stupid. Worst.
It had a twinge of that for me. It's like, all right, so you just tried to fool us. Like, I felt like they were trying to pull something over. It's like, okay, you don't have to pull something over. Just call her MJ from the get-go. It's fine.
I think they were trying to push the relationship with Peter and the other girl, who was like one
Liz
of his...
Liz Allen.
Yeah, it was one of his first girlfriends in the comics. It's a nice nod.
Yeah.
I think they were just trying to push that and be like, Mary Jane's not even in this movie, you idiots. What are you talking about? Yeah. And she's not Mary Jane. But she is MJ.
She is. She is called MJ. Her name's Michelle something. Well, I guess we'll figure out the J later. But
no, I thought it was just one name. I thought
her
name's
like, Michelle.
Oh, in the movie.
In the movie.
The actress.
Yeah, her name's Zendaya.
Yeah, she's got like one of those Madonna and Prince names. Where
I guess she's like a Disney Channel star or something. It's fine.
Sure.
Whatever. We love Spring Breakers, and it's filled with Disney Channel stars. So whatever. It's fine.
It's really fine. True.
Also, if you like Spider-Man Homecoming, you'll love Spring Breakers. Check out our episode. It's
I don't think that part is true.
Same themes, exactly.
Yeah.
James Franco makes a cameo as Alien in Spider-Man Homecoming.
Here's a quick reference, or turn back. You ready? Because James Franco was the Green Goblin.
Fucking right. It all comes full circle. He was Green Goblin 2, by the way.
Yeah, of course. But he didn't really show up till 3.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. It's
which most of us don't really talk about. Stage whisper.
I think you rate... Can you rate... The Spider-Man's real quick for me. And then we'll get back. This is just a super tangent. I'm sorry.
All of them are just the mains.
And then I want to get back to the supporting characters around Peter. But all of them. Just rank bottom to top real quick.
Bottom to top. Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Okay.
Spider-Man 3.
Okay.
Amazing Spider-Man 1.
Okay.
Spider-Man 1. Spider-Man Homecoming. Spider-Man 2.
Okay. Mine's pretty close. I would say... Amazing Spider-Man 1 is my bottom.
Really? You don't like that one better than...
No. I think Spider-Man 2 is a worse movie. It's like Batman Forever and Batman and Robin. I'd much rather watch Batman and Robin.
Really? Because I'm way more in the Batman Forever.
Yeah. Well, let's see. That's
because Batman Forever is also one of my... I like that Batman. Like, I really like Val Kilmer. Maybe that's... I mean, I fully admit I really like Val Kilmer, so...
That's fair. That's all right. So, Spider-Man 1, Amazing Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man 3, Spider-Man 1, Homecoming, Spider-Man 2.
Okay.
I think the worst Raimi is better than the best Mark Webb has done.
Yeah, sure.
Because I really was offended by that Peter. So, these supporting characters. I think when this film works... It works most in the high school elements, more so than the superhero moments.
I will agree with you, and I will also caveat, I thought the high school elements were fine. I didn't think they were even that great.
It makes it seem like you didn't like this movie, which makes me think you didn't like all of the other Spider-Mans except for Spider-Man
2. I did like this one. I'm just being incredibly harsh on it.
Why are you being so harsh on it?
Because I probably hyped it up to myself more than it expected, which is a problem of my own making.
Yes.
But that's what I'm just laying it all out.
That said, and again, I promise we're going to get back to those supporting characters. But that said, I do feel like the reaction to this has been a lot like the reaction to Wonder Woman, which is overwhelmingly positive, perfect. Like, I've seen a lot of people say this is the best Marvel Cinematic Universe movie that's been
out. I do not agree with that at
all.
And
I'm like, it's not even top five. No. Like, it's not bottom five, don't get me wrong, but it's not top five.
I wonder how much
of
that is like marketing by Disney, like, hey, so this is the best market.
Here's, well, not Disney, it'd be Sony, because Disney doesn't do this shit with like their other Marvel movies. Like, Ant-Man came out and the reviews were pretty mediocre. Like, obviously Disney is not paying for reviews. It'd be Sony, because Sony is the hand of marketing in the Spider-Man still. But anyway, are we going to supporting characters? What was the point I was making? I got so lost.
I'm sorry, I did that to you. Prerequisites, people. We've pre-gamed for a pending drunk cast episode that is upcoming. We're kind of lit right now.
If you wanna get access to these drunk casts, which are, I guarantee you, a lot more fun than us trying to talk about one topic for an hour, just subscribe to us on Patreon. It's $1. It's super easy. We didn't give you fucking any advertisements or anything like this time. So, like, just deal with it. And $1 on Patreon. That's just all it takes. You'll get the drunk cast. You know, it's all good.
Supporting characters. Let's break this down a little further. I want to know favorite villain from the Spider-Man movies. God damn. And then we'll get more into the supporting character. It ties in.
Before we talk about these supporting characters, let's talk about a series of movies that have nothing to do with this movie yet.
I think that's what everybody expects.
I don't think it is. I think they want to know.
How many people have talked about Spider-Man Homecoming at this point?
Yeah, but here's where criticism is. And did you see Video Game Donkey's thing?
I did. I loved
about
it. Absolutely loved every second
of it. It's the IGNification. Like, it's everybody has the same voice. And that's kind of what I was getting to with the Spider-Man Homecoming shit in Wonder Woman. It's like, oh, it's the best. It's like,
that's what you were talking about.
It came back. It's good. Like, it's fine. It's a good movie. But, like, people are blowing this out of proportion, I think, because it's...
It
this is a step in the right direction, so we're going to be uniformly positive to make sure it keeps that way.
Sure.
And I think that's also with Wonder Woman, not to bring politics or anything there. It's a perfectly good movie. It's very entertaining. It's the best thing DC has done since The Dark Knight. Yes, those are all true. That said, it is not like...
It's not fantastic.
The best comic book movie ever. It is not like a perfect ideal for feminism. Like, it's not. Like, there are some right steps, but I think people are gravitating towards these things because they want to see more. So they're like, A+,
yes,
10 out of 10,
more.
We need more. So they're not being, I think, as honest as they could be.
Another caveat, let's get controversial. Do you think this same thing will happen with Black Panther?
Yeah, I think...
I think so, too.
Since Spider-Man and Wonder Woman both are like 92 and 93 on Rotten Tomatoes, I say Black Panther comes out 93 at the very least.
I think
there's
so, too.
No way.
It'll absolutely be above 90s.
And that's not to say Marvel's bad, because I think at the very worst, if you go to a Marvel movie, you're going to get a good, fun movie.
I think anybody who listens to this show will know that we are totally into the Marvel camp and the movies.
Oh, especially me. Much more so. Like, I eat the shit that
and
Marvel
I love it. I've gone to
poops
like
out their penises.
Everyone with you, and I've had a great time. Some
they're
better
a lot
than
of fun.
Others.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are great, fantastic popcorn flicks that entertain you. And really, what I like is they add a lot of backstory and shit in.
Ooh,
stuff that you can explore later. That's fucking great. I love that shit.
Speaking of backstory and shit, that's one of my favorite things about this film, too. I really do enjoy the high school stuff. But more so, and probably shouldn't be this way, I really enjoy the tie-ins to the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
The Avengers Universe. I love the Vulture's origin of finding Chitauri tech from the first Avengers movie. And then kind of like going in the black market way, and they're stealing all the debris and rubbish from like these Avengers battles that have already happened.
What?
And they're like, that's a great... because the Vulture in the comics was just an old man in a suit who sucked people's youth from them.
Yeah, and he liked
fucking
to fly.
Fucking stupid.
And it was a realistic bird suit.
And this is what
I love about the Marvel film universe, is that they have updated and adapted a lot of the things throughout the history of the comics. They've made him more modern. Mm. Like Iron Man's story starts in like the Middle East with his weapons in the hands of terrorists.
Instead of the Ten Rings, the Chinese band of...
It's such a fucking cool twist on it, and it brings it into a modern fucking style. Yeah. Spider-Man Homecoming is really great at this.
We talked about Redbird on the Falcon. Like, Redbird in the comics is an actual bird that he communicates to telepathically. They're just like, that's that doesn't work. Let's make it a drone.
Well, shit. And perfect. There's drones in this movie, too. Yeah. Spider-Man has the tracking drone.
Yeah.
It's this really cool way that they're modernizing things, and that's why like that the Marvel Cinematic Universe is it's a different universe from the comic universe and all of those things.
I'll kind of rub against you there in a little bit.
Cool.
And that and the movie did this well, so I'm going to talk negative, but I think in the end it did the right thing.
Okay.
But as soon as the training wheels protocol was unlifted and there's 536 web shooter combinations, and I have taser webs and all this stuff, and it essentially turned into Iron Man
with Spider-Man suit.
Infinite possibilities. I was like, I don't like this. I don't want this to be Spider-Man. This is not who Spider-Man is. Spider-Man is somebody who has to kind of think on his toes.
Yes.
He has to be the hero without the suit first. And that's the theme in this movie, and that Peter learns that's not the way, and he goes back to the suit, and that he finds redemption in just his old street clothes, I think is really brilliant. And that's why you bring in Iron Man, not necessarily for hero to Peter worship, and I just want to be in the Avengers, because that's the perfect analogy. I know a lot of people heard that line in the trailer that's if you're nobody without the suit, then you don't deserve it. And people are like, well, Iron Man's nothing but a suit. Fucking wrong.
That's
first off.
That's so wrong.
He built that suit from nothing. He's a genius. He's Iron Man 3.
The second smartest person in the Marvel Universe?
It depends. It's a shifting thing, but he's always top five smartest.
Yeah, he's easily top five. But I think Doom's smarter.
I think it all fits in thematically, but there was a point when it was getting a little bit too many gadgets from the Spider-Man suit. It's like, good. It's fine what you did here. Don't do that again. I don't want to see any Spider-Man gadgets going forward.
I didn't have enough Spider-Man in general, I feel, in this movie.
Oh, my God. I disagree.
Okay.
And, in fact, I think the middle section, you can take out a whole action scene.
Sure.
There are, totally three or four Spider-Man set pieces, all in a row real quick, where it's just, 40 minutes of Spider-Man. And I was like, that's too much. Let's get back to Peter at Homecoming. That's more interesting to me.
I just don't remember very much of Peter actually swinging around the neighborhood being the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. There's a little montage of it, but there wasn't enough of Peter interacting with people, I feel, and being
agreed.
So that was my big complaint. I mean when I say there wasn't enough Spider-Man.
I agree with that. The Sam Raimi movies that perfectly where you do just have those sweeping shots of him swinging through the city and interacting with New Yorkers.
Yes.
And there's a little bit
when he goes by the train.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that. And
it's totally...
and the bodega store owner guy at the start of the movie, I appreciate that kind of stuff. Peter
and
talking
the
with the bodega
it.
Owner
yes.
and that it's important and that's good. I want to see the weird neighbor, Mr. Ditkovich, asking for rent. I want to see Bronx as an environment. And I think what they have here is a nice step in that direction. They need to push it further.
And that's
in the sequel.
What I was really trying to get at earlier when I said this wasn't the Spider-Man that I kind of
okay.
really know. Part of it. And what I like to come back to what I had said, when he confronts the robbers in the bank, that was Spider-Man I want to see, where he is he's kind of throwing him off and playing around with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the good Spider-Man, where he's like a jazz drummer almost, where he's kind of setting the pace, but also making changes when he needs to.
Well, I think there's a reason that scene comes so early in the movie and he is so kind of cocksured going in is because he has a lot to learn. He can't just go into a situation and assume he's the most powerful. It teaches him to think and be on his feet and kind of go into it with a strategy. And that's Spider-Man for me. It's not the person going in. That said...
Yeah, I was going to say, interject.
Oh, please interject. I was going to segue, too.
Generally, yes, but this Spider-Man in this universe has already gone toe-to-toe with half of the Avengers. And yes, they were pulling punches.
They were.
Those are still well above the average human bank robber, even if they have extended tech.
That's, well, he got caught off guard because he was going in cocksure. And that's why I'm saying it's not like Spider-Man, because okay. he is a kid and making mistakes. Like, he is learning.
And Spider-Man
as
is
he
adapting
goes.
Those mistakes yeah. and making them work for him.
And I think that's true in Civil War. Like, his scenes, like, he was still kind of just like going in without thinking, too. He got caught off guard by the Redbird drone swinging him and taking him out. Got caught off guard by Ant-Man, who at that time was a giant, who caught him off guard and hit him. Like, he's still learning. So I think this is all something that can be tweaked as it goes along, and that's fine.
And that's what that's all I was yeah. saying. That's what I want. I get that yeah. this is the reason Spider-Man is this way, mm-hmm. because it's still a beginning, even though we're not getting the fucking overdone over our origin story.
Yeah.
That's cool. I just hope that we see more of that.
Sure.
That's all I'm saying.
No, I agree with you. I will say I think something that cut the wind out from under the sails of this movie was E3. In that Spider-Man game demo.
It probably made some impact.
I think it did.
Especially
no, I'm saying I know it yeah. did for me. Like yeah. seeing that video game and like
what
being able
be?
To do that. Yeah, like that's way more interesting. Like that one set piece they showed in that demo, I think is better than any of the set pieces in this movie, which are fine. Like they were the least important things to me. Whereas like Guardians was like, oh man, that scene where Yondu's escaping from prison and kills like 300 men with an arrow, like that's kind of cool. This one was like, it felt like nods to the old ones without much new.
There's also a lot that is not very memorable to me. Like, I try to remember yeah. some things, and it was great as a movie. I remember giggling and kind of having some laughs, but nothing. Mm. I was like, wait, what was funny here? Like, it's
Martin Starr admitting to the previous
oh, yeah.
death
losing
of a child.
But is that because the line hilarious. Was great, or because you also love Martin Starr?
Both.
Yeah.
I think it's a fantastic line and
not
a great
again.
Reading by Guilfoyle.
Not again.
I can't lose another one.
Not again. So, all right. So
And again, like, this is a fantastic cast, it must be said. Like, the supporting characters are Martin Starr. Hannibal Buress shows up, like all these comedians come in, and you have a potential for every other movie. Just like Shop Class Teacher is Ron Swanson.
Should have been.
Right? Like, you can do this now going forward. Just bring in these comedy juggernauts as high school teachers. Donald Glover pops up for a brief role as
also
Miles
the uncle
Morales.
Uncle.
Morales is, oh, that's a hard one to say.
Uncle.
Miles Morales' uncle.
Uncle.
Albert something, who is the Prowler in the
Which
comics too,
is what I'm glad. What I like,
but
and
he's
I hope,
hilarious. He's great.
Oh, I love Donald Glover.
He has like three lines, and he makes them all count. Like
but
that's I love.
As the Marvel Universe continues, and this is a problem facing comic book movies, Robert Downey Jr. is going to go away. Chris Evans is going to go away.
As they should,
and they've sort of set up maybe Chris Evans' replacement. We don't know for sure yet.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it should be Bucky.
Yeah.
We haven't got to a Iron Man replacement, but I like that this movie is already setting up a possible Spider-Man replacement in Miles Morales.
Yeah, way down the line.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that gives the excuse to move on.
Yeah.
I like that because Tom Holland is going to get old.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to happen.
Also, so. Iron Man's replacement could literally be anybody.
It could be.
Or you could just CG Robert Downey's face inside of a black area with circles around. It's not going to be
CG
that hard.
CG is getting ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because they're de-aging every... Like, Michael Keaton was de-aged in the first part of this.
Yeah.
And it was the most seamless I've ever seen de-aging stuff.
Kurt Russell was also really good.
Kurt Russell's was really good, too. But this is even better. And
because
I don't know
you don't
how.
Notice it.
It's so subtle
yeah.
that you're like, did they de-age him? They de-aged him. No, that was...
So let's
no, they de-aged him.
You come on to this.
Anyway,
let's
anyway,
talk
sorry,
to
sorry,
Go
sorry.
Ahead.
Replacements. You're talking about replacements?
Well, sure. I briefly touched on it.
Yeah, but I want to let me blow your mind here.
Let's right. try.
So Kevin Feige, head of Marvel Studios, has said going forth after the Avengers, the big thing with Thanos is resolved, Spider-Man Homecoming is the first movie to come out. It takes place like minutes after Infinity War ends, and he says he wants Spider-Man to lead Phase 4 going forth, for him to be the familiar face. What if all the setup for Captain America, like Bucky and the Falcon. This is all not true. What if it is Spider-Man who takes up the shield and is the leader of the Avengers going forward?
As Captain America too? I mean, I'd be all right with that.
That'd be an interesting, really cool way to do it.
And again, they can do what I love about the Marvel Cinematic Universe is that it is a separate universe from the comics.
Yeah.
They follow the outlines, the basic guides, but they make it work for them mm-hmm. in an exciting way. I love that. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
But now
you want to get super nerdy, there are 616 universes yeah. of canon in the Marvel universe.
What's and the this prime is just one of them.
It's 616.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why 616.
I thought it was 303. It's the, you see what I
it's
did there.
The yeah. what's the backwards is forwards.
The Bizarro.
Dog that's God DC. Is also dog God backwards. That the.
It's palindrome.
Palindrome. It's an anagram.
Anagram is FBI for female booby inspector.
I thought it was body inspector, but okay.
Also, booty would work there.
Booty would work.
I want to talk about what I wanted to talk about 20 minutes ago. And we'll start with Michael Keaton as the film's villain.
It's not Michael Keaton. Oh, he is Michael Keaton.
What in the hell? Oh, my God. Are you guys ready for a fucking great drunk cast? Let me just hype that up a little more.
I had Michael Caine in my head. I was like...
Oh, yeah, I'm the Spider-Man.
Hello, Spider-Man. Oh, my God. Yours is so much better. What the fuck was my God... You like were in an inbred theater? Pirate?
You were in theater?
I never said I was going to impression.
Michael Keaton, please.
I'm good at holding bits, and I've been doing a bit of incompetent co-host for 3 years now. That's how...
Give him the Grammy. It's going to be 3 years in November.
It's 2 years. It's 2 years.
It's more than 2.5.
That's my incompetent part. That's how committed I am to the role.
Love it.
Come
Love
on. It.
Give the man a Grammy.
What were you trying to say?
I want to talk about Michael Keaton, man, as the fucking villain of this movie. And in reference to other villains in the Spider-Man cinematic universe.
Sure. What would you like to say?
I thought Michael Keaton was one of the better villains, but he's not the best.
I think he's really strong. I like his kind of Republican everyman approach. Like, he's constantly talking about Tony Stark like he's the 1%, and he is like, you know, he's that character that's not been voiced. We've not seen that villain. I think the last time we've seen that type of villain was like The Rock with Ed Harris. Who robs a place for
I thought you were making a reference to Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
No, and I was like the movie what? The Rock with Nick Cage and Sean Connery.
I get it now, but I was like, what movie did The Rock like? Go, when did he represent the upper echelon? But now I get it.
I don't think he has.
I don't.
Maybe that Jumanji movie. I don't know. We'll see. Find out next week in Trailer Sailor with Andy, I guess.
Oh, my God. Finish the shit show, Ryan. Talk about the Vulture with Michael Keaton. And the reference to the fact that Michael Keaton played a winged superhero.
Oh, my God. That's the most obvious thing you can do.
Yeah. Well, but I'm trying to give you a softball to bring you back onto this.
Motherfuck. I'm going with, like, legitimate pathos here. Like, he's a really good villain. Like, Marvel gets shit on constantly for weak villains, and that's true. There are some, like, Malekiths and people you don't remember.
I think we're about to turn a corner on that, though.
But I think...
Kate Blanchett and fucking Ragnarok.
Yes, I agree.
Ooh, lordy, yes. Michael Keaton as Vulture.
Jeff Goldblum in like a little bit. Like, you know, he's gonna do something interesting. We have interesting things coming ahead. That said, Vulture, I think, has been the best one since Loki, maybe.
And all of them. Because I still for think villains. Doc Ock is
maybe
best.
Maybe Nemo. No, for the MCU. Okay, universe.
That's why I was what I meant when I said all of them.
The Marvel Studios movies. No, I think Loki is he's one of the best. I think Loki's tops, but I think Adrian Toomes as the Vulture might be number two. Like, I love how they reworked him.
Well, I love that he didn't get killed off.
And that's fucking great. Like, so the mid-credit scene, again, we're spoiling shit, is just a non-sequential, like, Adrian Toomes goes to prison, and the Scorpion, or who will become the Scorpion, Matt Gargan, stops him. And he's like, so rumor is you know who Spider-Man is. And Adrian Toomes does. And he has the potential to give away the secret or not. And he chooses to be a decent fucking person and be like, no, I don't know who he is. And if I did, I'd murder myself or something.
See, that's what I don't think he was being decent. I think he was playing almost like a Joker level game, like, I want to take this guy out. I don't want to fucking give you that. This is my thing. I'm going to stop the Spider-Man.
See, I think I saw respect. I think I saw a mutual respect between the two. I think Vulture sees that. Like that car talk right before Homecoming. I think it's a threat, but I think it's also a show of respect. Because I think he recognizes that he is good, that Peter is good, and he is something much more than he ever thought, like when he entered that door. Like, I do think he recognizes how good he is, and I think that carries over. I don't think it is just like, I'm going to manipulate a game into having the Sinister Six together, and we're all going to get home or whatever they think's going to happen.
Because I'm going to interject because I disagree with you here.
Fucking lasagna.
I know. You want to go handle it or no? So I'm going to interject here because I disagree a bit.
Okay.
I took, and this is what I love that we have read this movie.
A home pregnancy test. What's the results?
I love that we've read this movie completely different ways.
Is that gonna,
no, I'm not even going to acknowledge. I'm moving on because I don't want to lose my train of thought like you've done seven times in this episode.
It's really hard when
he confronts Spider-Man in the car, I had a very mobster-esque attitude from it because he pulls out the gun and he's threatening him. He's only letting him go because his daughter shows interest, and in the mob, like, family's kind of a big thing. And he's like, look, man, this is your chance. You walk away. I don't do this, but I'm giving you this chance because she likes you. But take my advice, walk away.
It might have had some mobster undertones, and I'll give you that. But I can't remember the line specifically, but I know there's, like, a mention where he says something in that same talk of like, I really respect what you're doing. Like, you're doing a good thing or whatever. Like, I'm not the bad guy.
I remember him saying, like, he's talking to him, he's like, I'm not the bad guy.
You're doing a good thing.
You want to give it to them? You want to give it to them?
Yeah.
People like him, you know, I'm out here doing it. That gave me the very mobster mentality of the way that he handles it. But and maybe it deserves a second watching. But again,
here's where I will disagree. And I'll throw back the movie at you. And also, this is one of my complaints or one of my things I really didn't like was when he just offhandedly kills Shocker number one by accident and is played for laughs. But like he kills a dude without any remorse. So I think he could have done the same for Peter and played it close to the vest. But that he gave him the talk, I think, is like a huge sign of respect that he steps up.
Sure.
Because like obviously he has no sign of remorse of taking a life after that, and I think that's a really weird tonal beat just to begin with that I don't like.
Again, maybe it's because I've watched The Sopranos very recently, but there's the family respect thing is a big part of it, and sure. Like
you're also describing the Fast and the Furious franchise, Kyle.
Maybe I've only seen the first one.
They're all about family. Spoiler alert: they're all about family.
We're gonna get into another topic on the drunk cast coming up. I'm gonna write it down now. But please, so Vulture, you said he ranks your top?
I think he's in the top three Marvel villains, yes. A Marvel Studios villains.
Okay.
Studio villains. If we're going all movies ever. Oh, man, that's hard because I think, one, Doc Ock's better. I think Sandman's better. And this is.
What? Sandman?
Yes. Yes.
I think Willem Dafoe is better.
Willem Dafoe is a scenery-chewing motherfucker.
Of course, and he's great at doing
it. He's fine. That's like, no, Nicholas
Cage. Awesome. No,
you give Nick Cage the Green Goblin role, and it's going to be the same fucking thing.
No, it's not, because Nicholas, it's weird. Like, I totally see what Willem Dafoe does with taking up the scene.
Yeah.
But I don't, maybe it's because I like Dafoe, but it seems so much cringier and worse when Nick Cage does it, because... Okay, you disagree, but that's the way I always
feel. No, that's because
people
don't realize when they're shooting Nick Cage movies that you're making a Nicolas Cage movie. Like, there's a right tone to take, and Sam Raimi has that tone because what Nick Cage does is what Bruce Campbell does. It's the same kind of not quite good, but really over the top. You're going to give it 110% even though you're not quite good. That's that same tone. So Nicolas Cage could do Sam Raimi Green Goblin just fine. Sandman is fucking fantastic.
I do like Hayden Church.
Tell you. All right, so we're not going to give out the scores for Spider-Man Homecoming yet. Really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed Spider-Man Homecoming. That said, that one Sandman birth scene in Spider-Man 3 is better than anything in this fucking movie. Sandman disintegrates and then slowly builds himself from a pile of fucking sand. Completely silent scene for 5 minutes that only plays some music is fucking better than anything in Spider-Man Homecoming.
I like that.
And if you are wrong, fucking come at me. And I will tell you how fucking wrong you are. Because that's perfect. So Sandman is absolutely better than Green Goblin.
You know what I wanted from that Sandman scene?
If you say butt stuff, I don't know what to counter.
You probably still will be as bad at it. I think that was the perfect origin for Bruce Banner to Hulk. Because it was a science experiment in the middle of nowhere in the desert that kind of went wrong. Okay. And it affected him. Like, that's what... Well, I remember seeing it. I was like, holy shit, this is like the original Hulk creation.
I disagree.
All right, that's cool.
I disagree, but we will not continue this tangent any longer. Spider-Man Homecoming is a movie that has just come out.
How many joints would you rate this?
Being zero is a perfect movie. Don't need any joints. And five is you need...
Five joints to get through it. Yeah.
It's the worst. It's such a stupid thing.
But it's ours and we're going with.
That it's a Heath Ledger scale because it fucking like...
It's not totally...
Heath Ledger did one good movie. That's it.
2.5.
1.5.
What's the half you're talking about?
10 Things.
Now that's my other one. My half is Knight's Tale.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's fine. It's a half.
It's not okay. A good movie. It's fine. It barely scrapes average. And he does nothing to make it better. Alan Tudyk makes that movie.
Yeah, he does great.
Yeah, he's fantastic. Heath Ledger did not have an impressive filmography. He was the worst thing we could have picked. Worst thing. Maybe.
But we should have gone
Adam Sandler. Yes, because he literally does have one good movie, and that's like the zero. Wait.
2018, we switched to Adam Sandler.
Why don't we just do it now? No, fuck
because
Heath Ledger.
We commit.
I don't commit. Joints. I pull out. Did you not hear my prom story?
Yeah. Joints. Joints. How many joints would you rate Spider-Man Homecoming?
One.
One joint?
Yeah, I think it's good. One's going to make it a little bit better. I think it's a little bit light and fluffy. It's not as epic as like those Spider-Man. And that's, I think, the Amazing Spider-Man's got wrong because they try to go too epic and serious. But, like, the Sam Raimi movies, like, a lot of stuff happens in two. Like, it's an epic movie. Mm-hmm. This one feels a lot smaller. And that's by design. Spider-Man's a street-level hero with a street-level villain, and he's solving street-level crimes. He's not, like, fighting a big invasion. It's not a big plot or a big event. It's all about the characters. And I love the characters. I think the characters are all great, great cast. So, 1 star.
Okay.
To get through those action scenes that I think are just kind of boilerplate. Like, they're just fine. They're not anything fantastic.
I'm going to come in and give it 2 joints.
Okay.
And a roach.
God damn it. I hate this fucking system.
That's 2.5 stars.
I'm going to shit. I'm just going to shit on this floor.
Which means it's pretty good. I enjoyed it. I would watch Spider-Man Homecoming again right now. Do I think it's the best Spider-Man? No. Do I think it's the best Marvel movie? No. It's in the mid-tier.
Do I think this is the best rating system? No. It's by far the worst.
But it's ours and it's dumb. It doesn't matter. It's liquid. It's flowing. So, in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, though, where do you place Spider-Man Homecoming? Lower, middle, upper. 3 levels.
Let's do this. I'll name the movies in order as they come out. You say... above Spider-Man or below Spider-Man? Better or worse than Spider-Man Homecoming? Okay. Iron Man. Better.
Below.
Okay.
First Iron Man, though.
Iron Man 1. Captain America, First Avenger.
Better.
Better. Iron Man 2.
Equal.
Below.
You think equal?
Far below. Yeah, far, far below.
You think equal?
Thor, first one.
Below.
Below. Avengers.
Above.
Above. Let's go Avengers Age of Ultron.
I'd still say above.
Below.
I know you do. Yeah. But that's okay. But you know my reasoning why.
You think Avengers Age of Ultron's better? You're the IGN. You're
the IGN. I am not the IGN.
I literally heard you complain about Age of Ultron. You're like, it's a garbage movie. Blah, blah, blah. They didn't have enough Hulk. And now you're like, it's better than Spider-Man, which is like a good movie.
This makes no sense.
It doesn't, but continue.
Thor the Dark World.
Way below.
Yeah. All right. No. Thor's better. Thor the Dark World is better than Iron Man 2. But we'll disagree. Yeah,
this is all subjective, buddy. All
right. Okay. It's not. Captain America Winter Soldier.
Way above.
Way above. Captain America Civil War.
Way above.
Above. Ant-Man.
I'd also say above.
Equal.
Okay. You also have skipped over Iron Man 3.
Iron Man 3.
And below.
Iron Man 3 is way above. Top of the crop. Okay. Top of the crop.
Okay. Also, fair warning, I might have been switching 2 and 3. Who had Ben Kingsley?
That's 3.
Okay, 3 is way above.
Is fantastic. Okay. Ben Kingsley's the best.
We're back on
We agree, guys.
All right, we're back on the level.
Did you ever see Doctor Strange? I think that's the only other one.
I haven't still, and I'm sorry.
That's okay. Oh, Guardians. Guardians 1 and Guardians 2, and that's
both
it.
Both way above.
Yeah, agreed.
So
completely agreed.
Doctor Strange, where would you rate it?
Above.
Really? Okay.
I think
I need to see
just
it then.
Slightly above, but it's fantastic visual. Like, what this one is lacking, I think, cinematography-wise and in visuals and scope and just pure imagination, Doctor Strange makes up for way more. I think I love the characters in Spider-Man much more than Doctor Strange.
Yes, I do too, for sure.
But it's all about that experience of Doctor Strange, and that's unlike any other Marvel movie. All
right, buddy, let's shut the fuck up. Last question. Do you recommend this movie to our viewers and listeners?
Yeah, I recommend this movie to people who do not like Spider-Man. Laura, my wife, hates Spider-Man, came out enjoying it.
I think
she liked it better than both of us. So I think this might be a Spider-Man for the people who don't really like Spider-Man. If you're tired of Spider-Man, that this is the third Spider-Man in 10 years, I think this is the one that's going to do it. This is a good one. It may not be the best one. There's definitely hyperbolic statements being thrown around about this being the best or worst, and it's not. It's good.
Yeah.
It's good. It's a light, entertaining throwback to 80s
that's
comedy.
That's the biggest thing. It's entertaining. There's a lot of humor. You might not remember every...
Hannibal Buress, people!
Yes. Hannibal Buress interacting with a pre-recorded version of Captain America, who is the best part of this movie.
He really is.
He really fucking is.
God damn, this is how you do tie into your universe well. I love that he is an after-school
PSA.
30-minute PSA.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It's so good.
I would also recommend this movie to all of you. I don't know if I would rush out to see it in theaters, though. That's my only caveat. I think you can wait for the Netflix version of this.
We had a free screening thanks to AMC in Bloomington.
Thank you.
Fantastic. The one on 3rd Street, not the AMC Classic, which just means we don't remodel or update our seats and we have cum stains and knife marks in them. But what was my point before I started my AMC bashing?
It was something. Something about the fact that I didn't recommend people see this in theaters, but maybe it's okay to wait.
No, that's it. You're right. I think I like this movie a lot more than you, but I think the spectacle and scope is not really there. It's fine. Everything
looks
fine.
The biggest set piece of this movie takes place on a static Washington Monument.
Yeah, and most of those shots have been spoiled in the trailer.
It's nothing exciting, nothing fantastic.
And that's another issue with this movie, is if you've seen the trailers, you probably know almost everything that's going to happen except for maybe the Vulture twist.
Yeah.
But no, you can absolutely see it on your small screen. That's the perfect place. It's a comedy. You don't need to go out and see it in theaters.
All right. That's the final word. I've been Kyle.
I used to be Ryan.
But now he's narrier.
You went backwards.
Yeah. Well, that's the secret to making a good Star Wars universe name. I don't know if you know this.
I don't know this.
Yeah. I'll explain it off air.
Bye!
Oh!
Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We really hope you enjoyed it. If you did enjoy it, you can check us out at experiencegrind.com or find us over at facebook.com/experiencegrind.
Watch me play games on twitch.tv
/experiencegrind.
We really like money. We really like money. We really like money. You should give us your money.
Find us on Patreon. Just search for Experience Grind Podcast.
Email us at experiencegrindpodcast@gmail.com.
It's current year.
Follow us if you like butt stuff.
Na 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 Spider-Man! Yeah, 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 yeah.
You're the worst.